يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا.
Believers, do not draw near to the prayer while you are intoxicated, until you know what you are saying, nor when you are defiled, save when you are traveling, until you have washed yourselves. If you are either ill or traveling, or have satisfied a want of nature, or have had contact with women and can find no water, then betake yourselves to pure earth, passing with it lightly over your face and your hands. Surely, Allah is all relenting, all forgiving. Believers, do not draw near to the prayer while you are intoxicated. This is the second in the chronological sequence of injunctions concerning intoxicants. We came across the first injunction in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:219. In that verse, God merely indicated that drinking wine was a great sin, making it clear that it was reprehensible in His sight. This was quite enough to make some Muslims give up liquor altogether. Though many others still took intoxicating drinks, they sometimes stood up to pray while still under the influence of alcohol, so that they even made mistakes in their recitations. The second injunction was probably revealed at the beginning of 4 after Hijri, making it forbidden thenceforth to pray in a state of intoxication. This led to people to alter their drinking times. They drank only at those hours when there was no fear of their remaining under the influence of intoxicants when the time for prayer came. The injunction embodying unconditional prohibition of intoxicants was revealed not long afterwards. It should also be borne in mind that the word used in the verse is derived from sakr, which embraces not merely intoxicating liquors, but everything which causes intoxication. The injunction contained in the verse is valid even now, for though the use of intoxicants is such has been completely prohibited, praying in a state of intoxication is a graver sin. Until you know what you are saying. It is on the basis that the Prophet, peace be upon him, directed anyone who is under the influence of sleep and dozes off again and again during the prayer to stop praying and go to bed. Some people argue on the basis of this verse that the prayer of one who does not understand the Arabic text of the Quran will not be accepted. Apart from taking things too far, such a conclusion is not supported by the words in the text. The expression used by the Quran is neither hati tafkhua nor even hati tafkhua ma'takulun. On the contrary, the expression is haka ta'lamu ma'nakulun. Until you know what you are saying, rather than until you understand what you are saying. What is required is that while praying, one should at least be conscious enough to know what one is uttering in the prayer. Nor while you are defiled. The word janaba denotes the state of major ritual impurity, and is derived from the root meaning to ward off. The word ajnabi, meaning foreigner or stranger, is also derived from the same root. In Islamic terminology, janaba denotes the state of ritual impurity in both male and female, which results from the act of intercourse or from seminal emission, either from sexual stimulation or from a wet dream. Until you have washed yourselves. One group of jurists and Quranic commentators interpret this verse to mean that one should not enter a mosque in the state of major ritual impurity, janaba, unless out of necessity. This is the opinion of Abdullah bin Masud, Anas bin Malik, Hassan al-Basri, Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and others. Another group thinks that the reference here is to travel. In the opinion of this group, if a traveler is in the state of major ritual impurity, he may resort to tayammum, for instance, symbolic ablution attained through wiping the hands and face with clean earth. This group considers it permissible to stay in the mosque in this state, provided one has performed ablution. This is the view of Ali ibn Abbas, Sayyid bin Jubair, and some other authorities. The opinion that a traveler in the state of major impurity may perform ablution if he is unable to take a bath is supported by consensus, but while some authorities infer it from traditions, others base it on the Quranic verse mentioned above. If you are either ill or traveling, or have satisfied a want of nature, or have had contact with women, there is disagreement as to what is meant here by the verb lamastam, which literally means you touched. Ali ibn Abbas, Abu Musa al-Ashri, Ubay bin Ka'b, Sayyid bin Jubair, Hassan al-Basri, and several other leading jurists are of the opinion that it signifies sexual intercourse. Abu Hanifa and his school and Sufyan al-Thawri follow this view. But Abdullah bin Masud and Abdullah bin Umar hold that it signifies the act of touching, the mere placing of one's hand on a woman's body. This is the opinion adopted by Shafi. Other jurists take an intermediate position. Malik, for instance, is of the opinion that if a man and a woman touch each other with sexual desire, their ablution is nullified, and if they want to perform the prayer, they are obliged to renew their ablution. He sees nothing objectionable, however, in the mere fact of a man touching a woman's body or vice versa, provided the act is not motivated by sexual desire. And can find no water, then betake yourselves to pure earth, passing with it lightly over your face and your hands. The detailed rules of tayammum are as follows. A man who either needs to perform ablution or take a bath to attain the state of purity for ritual prayer may resort to tayammum provided water is not available to him. Only then may he perform the prayer. Permission to resort to tayammum rather than make ablution with water or take a bath is also extended to invalids whose health is likely to be harmed by the use of water. Tayammum literally means to turn to aim at, to head for, to intend. The relevance of the term in the Islamic religious context is that when water is either not available or when its use is likely to cause harm, one should turn to clean earth. There is some disagreement among jurists about the manner of performing tayammum. According to some, one should strike one's palms on the clean earth, then gently wipes one's face, then strike one's hands again and gently wipes one's hands and arms up to the elbows. This is the view of Abu Hanifa, Shafi, Malik, and the majority of jurists. Among the companions and successors, Ali Abdullah bin Umar, Hassan al-Basri, Shabi, Salim bin Abdullah, and many others are of the same opinion. Other jurists are of the view that it is sufficient to strike one's palms once on the clean earth, then wipe one's face and one's hand up to the wrist. It is not necessary to wipe the arms between the wrist and the elbow. This is the opinion of Atta, Mahul, Awza'i, and Ahmad bin Hanbal, and is generally followed by the Ahl al-Hadith. Tayammum is not necessarily performed by striking one's palms on earth proper. It is sufficient to strike the palms on anything which either has dust over it or anything consisting of the dry elements of the earth. It may be asked how one attains purity by striking one's palms on the earth and then wiping one's hands and face with them. In fact, tayammum is a useful psychological device to keep the sense of ritual purity and the sanctity of prayer alive in man's mind, even when water, the principal agent of purification, is not available. The value of tayammum is that even if a man is unable to use water, and no one knows how long this situation may persist, his sensitivity to cleanliness and purity will endure. He will continue to observe the regulation laid down by the law in respect of cleanliness and purity, and the distinction between the states in which one may and may not perform the prayer will not be erased.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يَشْتَرُونَ الضَّلَالَةَ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن تَضِلُّوا السَّبِيلَ
Have you not seen those to whom a portion of the book was given? They purchased error for themselves and wish that you too lose the right way. Have you not seen those to whom a portion of the book was given?
The Quran often characterizes the scholars of the people of the book as those who were given a portion of the book. The reason for the use of this expression in the first place is that they caused a part of the divine revelation to be lost. Moreover, they had detached themselves from the spirit and purpose of the divine revelation which was available to them. Their concern with the scripture was confined to verbal discussions, arguments about legal minutiae, and speculation about subtle and involved philosophical and theological questions. This had so alienated even their religious leaders and scholars from the true concept of religion that they lost true religious devotion and piety.
وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِأَعْدَائِكُمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا
Allah knows your enemies better, and Allah suffices as a protector, and Allah suffices as a helper.
مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَن مَّوَاضِعِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا وَاسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعٍ وَرَاعِنَا لَيًّا بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَطَعْنًا فِي الدِّينِ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَاسْمَعْ وَانْظُرْنَا لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَقْوَمَ وَلَكِنْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا
Among those who have become Jews, there are some who alter the words from their context and make a malicious play with their tongues and seek to revile the true faith. They say, "We have heard and we disobey." سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا Do hear us, may you turn dumb, اسْمَ غَيْرْ مُسْمَعِينَ And hearken to us, رَعَيْنَا It would indeed have been better for them and more upright if they had said, We have heard and we obey. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا And do listen to us and look at us with kindness. اسْمَ وَأَنْظُرْنَا But Allah has cursed them because of their unbelief. Scarcely do they believe. Among those who have become Jews,
it is to be noted that this expression means they became Jews rather than they were Jews. For originally, they were nothing but Muslims, just as the followers of every prophet are Muslims. Only later on did they become merely Jews.
There are some who alter the words from their context.
This signifies three things. First, that they tampered with the text of the scripture. Second, that they misinterpreted the scripture and thereby distorted the meanings of the verses of the book. Third, that they came and stayed in the company of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions, and listened to the conversations which took place there, then went among other people and misreported what they had heard. They did this with the malicious intent of bringing the Muslims into disrepute and thereby preventing people from embracing Islam.
They say, "We have heard and we disobey." سَمِعْنَا وَعَسَيْنَا
When the ordinances of God are announced to them, they'd loudly proclaim, "Yes, we have heard, سَمِعْنَا." But then they whisper, "And we disobeyed, عَسَيْنَا." Or else they pronounce, "أَطَعْنَا," "We obey," with such a twist of the tongue that it becomes indistinguishable from عَسَيْنَا.
Do hear us, may you turn dumb. اسْمَ غَيْرْ مُسْمَعِينَ
Whenever they wanted to say something to the Prophet, peace be upon him, they would say, "Isma," listen, but added to this the expression, غَيْرْ مُسْمَع, which had several meanings. It could either be a polite expression, meaning that he was worthy of such deep respect that one should say nothing to his dislike, or it could have a malicious implication, meaning that he did not deserve to be addressed by anybody. It also meant the imprecation, "May God turn you deaf."
We have heard and we obey.
Sami'na wa ata'na.
For an explanation of this, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Surah 2, N 108.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ آمِنُوا بِمَا نَزَّلْنَا مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَطْمِسَ وُجُوهًا فَنَرُدَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهَا أَوْ نَلْعَنَهُمْ كَمَا لَعَنَّا أَصْحَابَ السَّبْتِ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا.
O you who have been granted the book, do believe in what we have now revealed, which confirms the revelation which you already possess. Do this before we alter countenances, turning them backwards, or lay a curse upon them as we curse the Sabbath men. Bear in mind that Allah's command is done, which confirms the revelation which you already possess.
See Ibid, Surah 3, N2.
Turning them backwards, or lay a curse upon them as we curse the Sabbath men.
See Ibid, Surah 2, NN 82 and 83.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا.
Surely Allah does not forgive that a partner be ascribed to Him, although He forgives any other sins for whomever He wills. He who associates anyone with Allah in His divinity has indeed forged a mighty lie and committed an awesome sin. Surely Allah does not forgive that a partner be ascribed to Him.
Although the people of the book claim to follow the prophets and the divine books they had, in fact, fallen a prey to polytheism.
Although He forgives any other sins for whomever He wills.
The purpose of this verse is not to tell man that he may commit any sin as long as he does not associate others with God in His divinity. The object is rather to impress upon those who had begun to regard polytheism as a trivial matter, that it constitutes the most serious offense in God's sight, an offense so serious that while other sins may be pardoned, this will not. Jewish religious scholars were meticulous about questions of subsidiary importance and devoted all their time to pondering over legal subtleties, which their jurists had painstakingly elaborated by far-fetched deductions. Yet, they treated polytheism so lightly that they neither abstained from it themselves nor tried to prevent their people from falling a prey to polytheistic ideas and practices, nor found anything objectionable in establishing cordial relations with the polytheists, nor in supporting them.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا.
Have you not seen those who boast of their righteousness, even though it is Allah who grants righteousness to whomsoever He wills? They are not wronged, even as much as the husk of a date stone, if they are not granted righteousness.
انظر كيف يفترون على الله الكذب وكفى به إثما مبينا.
See how they forge lies about Allah. This in itself is a manifest sin.